You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 31st of January 2016 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, we're considering the meaning and implications of the current bear market, with stocks 20% or more lower than their peak. We'll take a look back and ask, was that peak overblown? As well as considering whether all the current uncertainty and volatility in the markets increases the likelihood of further declines. And we'll take a longer-term view and ask whether investors are better off buying in a bear or bull market. We start with Hartmut Issel, Head of Equity and Credit in Asia Pacific for UBS Wealth Management in the CIO office. We asked Hartmut whether he thinks the peak was indeed overblown.
The entire situation that we're in now very much reminds me of a classical mid-cycle scenario. So we're coming out of the financial crisis a couple of years earlier when valuations are very, very cheap, rock bottom, you might say, and earnings on a depressed base, so they can almost only go up. And then on top of that, you have the big central banks in the world. First of all, of course, the Fed starting to print money to pump liquidity into the market. So that can only last for a while, and this kind of double-digit returns can only last for a while. And we see already in the U.S. economy, I mean, it has pretty much recovered to a sustainable speed, so there isn't a lot more momentum on it. And same for earnings in the U.S., which also, by the way, got last year or still gets a bit depressed by the energy sector, which probably will fade. So the underlying earnings growth, 7-8%, isn't quite as high as it used to be anymore. Valuations no longer rock bottom cheap. So you will get these swings more often, as a very typical phenomenon in a mid-cycle market. So it's very difficult sometimes to say, you know, you will get 10% up or down. It swings around the historical middle of the price earnings band.
Simon Smiles is UBS Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth. How does he consider the peak in prices?
It's been a horrific start to the year, and uncertainty is what's driving this lower, I'd argue, rather than fundamentals. You know, if you look at the US economy, it's a gap in perception between what an ever disappointing manufacturing sentiment means vis-a-vis an ever stronger consumer, with huge number of jobs being out of the last 3 months and beating expectation every one of those months. You move to oil. You know, oil prices trading at $30 or below. Fundamentally, it's being driven by excess supply, with every major oil producer continuing to pump Iranian supply coming on. However, the market is starting to get concerned about what a $30 price would seem to imply with respect to global demand. And finally, with respect to China and more broadly FX moves, there's a gap between a fundamental view involving China lowering or changing its exchange rate mechanism to something more flexible, on one hand, versus concerns and fears about what the abandonment of a multi-decade exchange rate mechanism might mean for the true state of the Chinese economy. I was in Hong Kong last week, and there were huge concerns, press everywhere, about the Hong Kong dollar peg potentially breaking, what it might mean for HIBOR versus LIBOR, etc. And that's just, again, a manifestation, in that case, of the China concerns. So what's most concerning about this bear market is arguably the fundamentals haven't shifted dramatically. It's uncertainty and this gap in perception which is leading to the fear trade and, you know, markets continuing to fall.
For a US perspective, we caught up with Kevin Allison, columnist at Reuters Breaking Views. He explains what the bear market means there.
Stock markets have been falling pretty sharply since the first of the year. And in large part, it actually seems like investors are taking a cue from oil prices, which on the face of it seems odd. You'd think that falling oil prices would boost demand from consumers in places like the US or China, which are energy hungry. And I think there's a few potential things going on here. I think first, people may be worried that pain in the energy sector, where oil prices have fallen quite drastically, is going to start to hit economic activity. So the industry is a major employer in the United States. It's also a pretty significant component of things like the S&P 500 index. So to the extent that oil companies are getting hurt and laying off people, I think people are worried that they might be denting, first of all, consumption by consumers, but also the oil companies and energy companies themselves consume a lot of stuff. They buy metal pipes, they buy cement, they buy heavy equipment. And so I think there's some kind of concern about what's happening in the broader economy, whether or not there's a kind of ripple effect. And also that includes, I think, a ripple effect through the banking system, where people are bracing for a wave of defaults on energy company debt and are wondering how the banks are exposed to that. So I think that's one thing that explains it. I think that also people may be worried, they're worried about slowdown in China. They're worried about whether low energy prices eventually feed through into broader based deflation. Now, I think that worry is misplaced. I think that right now what you've got is the falling price of a single commodity, and that markets for some reason are latching onto that and expressing a concern that it could lead to broader based deflation, which tends to be a bad thing for economies, because when the prices of everything go down, people start to delay purchases because they think that the stuff that they're about to buy might be cheaper tomorrow. So I think those are some of the things that are simmering beneath the surface in the economy and affecting the stock market right now.
We hear next from Kiran Ganesh, UBS cross-asset strategist, who provides a little historic perspective. What's the context of the current market moves?
If we look, you know, kind of historically at some of these bear markets that we've had, at least since the 1960s, I think we can find that actually in terms of the length of time that they normally take, we wouldn't be kind of all the way through in terms of, you know, this current downturn. So an average bear market lasts something in the region of 3/4 of a year. Now, this one has been going for about 6 months. If we look at the level where we were relative to the peak. So, if you look at at least the historical precedents, then they could still be some way to go. As I said, more concerningly, on the other aspect of it, which is the size of the drawdown, on a global level, we're down, so just about 11% from the peak. As I said, historically, again, the falls have been larger. We think what's different about this one, though, is that we don't think that the global economy is suffering a downturn. So we would expect to see generally volatile markets from here, but ultimately moving higher through the rest of the year.
And for another global view, we asked Angus Grigg, China correspondent for the Australian Financial Review based in Shanghai, whether people there are preoccupied by the bear market.
The Chinese stock market is continued its run of being basically a casino, and I don't think the average person on the street here in China is particularly worried about the stock market. It's while retail money does sort of dominate the flows here, the actual participation in the stock market right across China is still relatively low. Most people still have the vast majority of household savings and indeed household wealth tied up in sort of property and in bank accounts. So the falling stock market, while it's been a big global story and it's rattled markets around the world, actually for average Chinese sort of middle class person, it actually has very little impact.
As we've heard, these are volatile times. So in a time of uncertainty, is there a greater than average likelihood of further short-term declines? Hartmut Issel again.
If I look at the different economies around the world, so the US is still relatively stable. The industrial side, of course, has suffered a bit recently, but it's an increasingly smaller part of the equation. Interestingly, the same is true also for China. So we already saw sort of a crossover of proportions in terms of importance of the services industry. Some people even call it new economies. I wouldn't quite go that far, but service industries versus sort of old economies. So mostly we put in there manufacturing and construction. So it went a bit unnoticed that service industries actually overtaken in terms of share of GDP, overtaken the old economy already. And of course, the new economies or services in any case are growing at a much better speed. So at the same time, yes, we do absolutely expect a gradual slowdown in China. But what we do not expect, and I don't think we really see any evidence of a real hard landing defined as a 5% or below GDP growth for a few quarters. And last but not least, if I look at the Eurozone, all the PMIs that we can get for the different countries, even Greece included, showing us on the manufacturing side even an above 50 reading, I don't think the entire degree of nervousness is justified by markets. My sense would be we should see a counter move in due course.
We often repeat the idea that markets don't like volatility and uncertainty. Given that, what's the likelihood of further declines in Kiran Ganesh's view?
We've actually recently sort of moved our tactical recommendation in equities down from overweight to neutral. And now part of the reason for that is because of that higher risk of short-term declines. As I said, when sentiment is fragile and when markets have had a higher period of volatility, they are more susceptible to kind of any kind of bad news, even if it's not really that bad, causing a big problem. So, you know, so if you're looking over the short term, then you know, I think we'd be right to be sort of fearful of some more volatility and some more potentially big declines. But I think for longer term investors, as I said, this is a potential opportunity, we would say, to build up positions in long-term portfolios.
Simon Smiles too discusses the implications of the current environment in the short and medium term.
Volatility begets volatility, unfortunately, in these markets. You have a range of risk parity funds, you have a range of quantitative trading strategies and momentum-based strategies, which unfortunately lead to a perpetuation in price movements, particularly in a low liquidity environment. You know, this is a market where fundamentals, frankly, don't matter. Fear is the prevailing driver of markets. So yeah, in the near term, the risk of markets continuing lower from here is obviously increased. It's why, frankly, at UBS, we've chosen to take down the level of risk we're running with respect to our global house view. We continue to think that stocks will end the year higher. We continue to think the fundamentals are actually supportive for risk assets. But against a backdrop where, again, fear and where technicals and volatility are driving markets potentially lower, we think it's prudent not to take outsized bets at the present moment.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll consider the impact of buying in a bear or bull market, respectively, on the long-term investor, and we'll get a sense of some global perspectives on equities. Next up, we're considering whether, for long-term investors, buying in a bear market is any better or worse than buying in a bull market. Hotmut Issel isn't convinced by the talk of bear markets in this context.
I wouldn't so much focus on whether we are in a bear market or not. Bear markets are a somewhat artificial phenomenon. There is not much of a scientific substance, if I may say so. It's more working on psychological levels, and that's why also many people use a 20%, a very round number, a clear number, but it isn't quite clear whether there's any sort of academic justification why it must be exactly 20. So it just basically signifies that we have already pulled down or are very close to pulling down 20%. That in itself doesn't tell as much, because some of these bear markets are fairly short, or you could almost call them crashes, whereas other ones, for example, Japan, some investors even consider that a bear market that has lasted for a decade, if you will. But I'm not sure this really means a lot, because within those decades, you had a couple of sub-bear markets, if you will. You had nice rebounds. What I would like to focus on more is valuation matrices, such as PE, price earnings, or price to book measures, and then look at the band historically, how they trade, and draw a standard deviation around it, so we can gauge when markets really get very fearful, very nervous on an historic level. And oftentimes when you trade or invest, at least on such a methodology, you have a better chance of success, and the statistics plays in your favor. And yes, by all means, certainly, if you're hitting lower bands, one standard deviation or even lower compared to historical valuations, those tend to be not good predictors on a day-to-day basis, but you know, over a couple of months or 1-2 years, fairly good predictors of relatively high chances of positive returns.
We asked Kevin Allison too for his view.
Well, I'd say that for very long-term investors, it's almost always a mistake to sell when things have gone down. People who did that during the 2008 crisis really paid a price, because they would have gotten out at the bottom of the market and then failed to ride the sharp recovery in stocks that took place starting in 2009. So I think for the very long term, people are wise to continue disciplined investment. I think that there's also a pretty significant chance that what we are seeing in markets, with both falling oil and falling stocks seemingly going in lockstep, I think there's a fair chance that it's just market noise. We've had years of low interest rates and easy money, which have pumped up asset values, including stocks. And that's just beginning to normalize with the Fed's decision to raise interest rates. And we've also had in the oil patch what you could argue is an irrational response, oil prices moving irrationally low to a point way below where producers are going to break even. Now, the experience in steel and aluminum markets in the years after the financial crisis showed that supposedly irrational prices could stick around for a long time, just because producers take a long time to respond to those prices and give up and stop producing or consolidate. But I think that, you know, there's a decent chance that markets aren't really necessarily reflecting what's going on in the real economy, both the stock market and the oil market. They could just be spouting gibberish. And so if you're a long-term investor who can look through that potential noise, I think, you know, I don't think that anyone should be terribly ruffled by what's been happening in stock markets since the start of the year.
And what does Kiran Ganesh make of the same consideration?
If you're investing with a very short-term time horizon, then it's probably better to be invested in a bull market, right? Because markets do tend to trend. And then if they have been declining over some period of time, then you tend to get that repeated. So if you're investing in a bear market with a two-month time horizon, then you're more likely to suffer a loss than if you're investing in a bull market. Now, on the other hand, if you're investing with a 5 to 6 year time horizon, then we are looking at this, you know, right now as a potential opportunity. The markets, or some markets, have fallen by 20% from their peaks. Valuations have got more appealing. So, you know, in some respects, it's a better time to be investing now if you've got a long-term time horizon than it was, you know, a few months ago when we were all saying, oh, it's still a bull market. So it depends on the time horizon, but for people with a long-term time horizon, investing in a bear market can be a great time to add into financial assets.
Does Simon Smiles think that comparing bear market versus bull in this way is an unhelpful comparison?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's about time horizon. And this is one of the areas where private investors actually have a benefit over institutional investors. If you're a professional money manager today, you have mark-to-market on a daily basis. You have the risk of withdrawals from your fund if you're not outperforming. And so you have to take down risk. Alternatively, for the private investor who can take a longer-term horizon, this is exactly the type of market condition where you can exploit that opportunity and buy things at a discount. Buy top-quality stocks on a 3 to 5 year basis you want to hold in your portfolio at much lower levels than they were just a month, let alone 2 months ago. Look for asset classes which have sold off in sympathy with other asset classes where fundamentals potentially have at the margin deteriorated, and hence are offering, you know, more compelling valuation. And one I'd highlight here is Eurozone high yield. Eurozone high yield has sold off along with US high yield despite having a much lower exposure to energy and the Eurozone economy much earlier in the credit cycle than the US, and hence defaults likely to be much lower. You get almost 6.5% yields on Eurozone high yield with an expectation for 1.5% to 2% defaults in the coming 12 months. That represents great value or great risk return in our view, and something that we're advising our clients to take advantage of.
And we asked Angus Grigg to share the Shanghai view of institutional investors' perspectives regarding buying in a bull market.
I think for institutional investors, the big problem is that the Chinese authorities or the Chinese government here keeps changing the rules. So institutional investors did get a little bit excited about China at the start of last year, and they saw the markets rising and they saw good volumes, and it seemed relatively easy to move their capital in and out of the country. Now, since the market has gone south, that has become a lot more difficult for international institutional investors. So there's been stories about some fund managers getting their money trapped in China. As you know, the Chinese government effectively prevented major shareholders from selling for a point in time. So I think there is a big concern among institutional investors that they are, or they will be, very wary of China this year, not just because the market fundamentals look very poor, but also because the Chinese government keeps changing the rules, and there's a lot of, you'd call it sort of regulatory uncertainty about them being able to not only bring their money into the country, but ultimately get it out.
And that's Angus Grigg, bringing us to the end of this 69th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance here on Monocle 24. In next week's programme, we'll be exploring the impact of low oil prices. Listen to that and find out more at monocle.com, or catch up with past episodes via the website or on iTunes. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.